You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport. Welcome to a special Thanksgiving edition of the Royal Rant. Of course, this is the Kings of Sport, the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans. And it's also known as the world's most dangerous sports show. Did I say that already?
Sure.
Okay, must be the tryptophan already kicking in, but... I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and that voice that you just heard is my co-host, my partner in crime, Marcus. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us, Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day.
Yeah, so I mean, I know you're out there in L.A., so I assume you're having a healthy tofu Thanksgiving, tofurkey maybe?
No, I don't do health. I don't watch what I eat. Well, I watch what I eat because there's some stuff I can't eat, but I'm not one who counts calories.
Yeah, I watch what I eat from my fingers to my mouth.
Yeah.
Like, one of the greatest things anybody's ever sent me on Facebook was one of those memes where this girl was like, I'm into fitting this whole burger into my mouth. So, like, you know, I can co-sign that. So we hope that you are enjoying Thanksgiving wherever you are. Who knows? Maybe you're listening to this on the way to Thanksgiving over the river and through the woods. Or maybe you're enjoying this after the football games have ended and you sit on the couch with a belly full of turkey, falling asleep to the soothing sounds of me and Marcus talking.
Or you're Canadian and you're at work, and it's just Thursday. Suckers.
That might be the biggest regret I have about breaking up with my ex in Canada, because I would have got two Thanksgivings,
two
man.
Two Thanksgivings, man.
I would have got two of them. Like, I think... after a couple of years of two Thanksgivings, I'd be sitting up in here looking like, you remember Cheeks from TNA?
Mm-mm, no.
The early days of TNA, the Russo-rific days. It was Cheeks was this big, fat black dude, and his like big finishing move was he sat on people, hence the name Cheeks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's like a big, fat dude that wore like these little tiny, tiny trunks that damn near looked like drawers. Hmm. Like, no. No, Vince Russo, that is why you were unemployed this Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Poor Vince Russo.
So you think he's enjoying a Thanksgiving, waiting by the phone to see if Dixie Carter will give him one last call?
I'm sure he's writing some dirt sheet column for someone for like $25. See, he's fine. Where's the Vince Russo podcast, by the way? Does he have a podcast?
He used to, because he had that big site that Pyro and Ballyhoo.
Mm, that's right.
Was his site. And then remember that big thing came out that the powers that be at the website were shutting him down?
Oh, even that's right. There was a whole
he said he owned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Vince Russo. Like, I think he's a fascinating individual. Like, I'd love to have him on this show or keep it 100, except for the fact that I know he probably wouldn't keep it 100.
He would not.
So he wouldn't even keep it 50.
Nah, he would 20.
20, yeah, max.
Maybe.
So we got a lot of good stuff to talk about this week. Some football, of course, and Marcus and I are going to get into our picks, our special holiday edition of our picks challenge here in just a little bit. But before we get into that, Marcus, have you recovered from last night and seeing your Lakers go down in defeat?
I don't like this team.
Have you? I was gonna say, have you already thrown in the towel on this season?
I have, man. It's hard to watch.
15 games in.
I can't do it, Nate. I can't do it.
I don't think you're the only one. I think Kobe's like sitting there after every game. Kobe's sitting there looking in the mirror, like, why am I still here?
I can't see him quitting during the season because I feel like he's got too much pride and too much stubbornness. But if he did, I wouldn't blame him.
You think that they would even consider the fact or entertain the idea of moving Kobe?
They can't, that contract. Where are they moving to? They can't trade him.
Could the Knicks eat that?
No. It's 20-something million. They're not trading him. They can't trade him.
I guess that's a be careful what you wish for situation. Like, Kobe, you signed that money. You signed that deal for all that money, and now look who you stuck with.
And despite all of Kobe's issues, he somehow leads the team in scoring, despite shooting 31%.
And he's only averaging, like, what, 15 points?
15 points a game.
Which is just ridiculous. With these sad sack Lakers, Lou Williams and Julius Randle and Carlos Boozer still around for some reason.
He's not.
Oh, Boozer's not with the Lakers anymore?
No, he's not in the league.
I thought Boozer, okay. You still got your man Swaggy P, don't you?
Yeah, he's still around.
As long as Swaggy's still around. Oh, man. This Lakers team. Who do you feel worse for, Kobe, Byron Scott, or D'Angelo Russell in this situation?
Well, Kobe's still getting paid.
And he kind of, to be fair, he kind of helped contribute to the current state of the team.
Yeah, he's not helping the team out any at all. D'Angelo is still young, so he'll be fine. I don't feel bad for him, but I think of the three, he would win.
Which may be one of the few wins he has all year.
Yeah, he was never the right guy for this job. I was never impressed as Byron Scott, the head coach. So I'm not sure why he was hired besides the fact that he was a Laker. And they, for whatever reason, wanted to have someone who had Showtime ties, Laker ties. But
I think Byron Scott's he's not a great coach, but I think if you have the right team, Byron can do some things. But I don't think that Kobe still being on this team is the right situation for somebody like a Byron Scott.
But you shouldn't have to settle for mediocre coaches if you're the Lakers. You should be able to, in theory, land a superstar coach.
And maybe Kobe still being on the team is part of the reason why they couldn't get a superstar coach. Because really, who wants to sign up for a year of that? Like, disgruntled Kobe second-guessing you?
I don't know, but, you know, Byron is a coach who doesn't have a winning record in his career. Not even close.
You think the fact that Byron played with Kobe, do you think that buys him anything with his best player or his most important player?
Oh, I'm sure him and Kobe are fine, but you know, in terms of him as a coach, he has been dreadful since he left New Orleans. I mean, he had three awful years in Cleveland, and he had one awful year last year in L.A. He's on his way to somehow topping what the Lakers did last year at this rate. I thought the Lakers winning 21 games last year was bad. They're at two now, and I don't see them winning 21 games this year based on this current team.
I mean, basically what he did was he took those two good seasons he had in New Jersey and parlayed that into an 11-year career. as a coach,
which is remarkable.
I'm trying to see. I'm looking at his coaching resume. Like
it's
outside,
not impressive.
Outside, he had two really good years in New Jersey and one surprisingly good year in New Orleans.
Yeah.
When Chris Paul went nuts. Yeah. Other than that, it's a lot of 30-win seasons.
Or 19 wins or 21 wins. Or yeah, I mean, he's not good. So I don't want the man to get fired per se, but...
Are you coming for this man's job, Marcus?
Considering the Lakers' schedule coming up, it's going to be an interesting month of December. This man has had a hard life.
Born in Utah, he grew up in Englewood. You don't know the struggle this man has had to go through to get to this position.
I'm from Englewood. I know his Englewood struggle.
Up to no good.
Yeah. The Lakers have an 8-game road trip coming up.
You think Byron might not come back?
They're 2-12 now. Assuming they lose Saturday.
Because aren't they still paying D'Antoni, though?
No.
Okay, D'Antoni's off the books now?
He's off the books. So is Mike Brown.
That's the question, though. Who are you going to get to...
Well, there's now two guys from the market who could be enticing. Thibodeau is still out there. And now Kevin McHale.
I mean, if you're Tibbs, obviously that Lakers job is impressive due to the history of the franchise, but would you want to take that job now if you're any coach with a credible resume?
Oh, not now, but I think at some point you're the Los Angeles fucking Lakers. If you come back from this road trip 3-20, at some point, someone's out of go, right?
Why don't they just let Kareem coach?
Oh, God, no.
Could he be any worse than Byron Scott right now?
Yeah, maybe.
if I'm the buses, I say, all right, Kareem, we'll let you coach. The only caveat is you have to, instead of wearing a suit, you got to dress up like your character from that Bruce Lee movie, Game of Death.
Even better.
Like with the afro, he's got to wear the afro wig and the shades. Yes. Let's touch on the team that defeated your Lakers real quick before we get into some football. What do you make of Golden State right now, man? They look to be on a mission.
Really good. I don't know when they're going to lose. If I had to guess, they also have a road trip coming up as well, like the Lakers. If I were to guess, I would say Utah on Monday, just because Utah does play some defense, and when the Utah fans are invested, they usually get into games. So, you know, it could be a curveball, but they have a 7-game road trip coming up. I would be surprised if they came back from that road trip undefeated still. But it would make for a great story if they're somehow undefeated heading into Christmas Day against the Cavaliers. Oh,
man, that would be great.
At 28-0 against the Cavs.
Like, this is how good the Warriors are. Like, the Spurs and the Cavs are 11-3, which is pretty damn good. But nobody's talking about them because the Warriors are 16-0.
Yeah.
So it should be great. You know what I hate, though, about this whole Warriors thing? And, again, it goes back to the coaches because I had some issues with the Mark Jackson deal. And now my man Luke Walton is here putting in this work, but he doesn't get any credit for the wins, Marcus. Why are they doing your boy like that?
Another coaching possibility for the Lakers, maybe. Luke Walton.
That would be great if Luke could parlay this into a head coaching gig, like a full-time head coaching gig.
You never know.
I always liked Luke Walton. I never had any problems with that man.
By the way, something that I think most people haven't noticed, if you look at the standings, the almighty, powerful Western Conference, not so mighty so far.
No, outside of the Warriors and the Spurs, it's a lot of 9-6s, 8-7s, 6-9s. It's pretty much wide open except for those top two spots.
And you look at the Eastern Conference, a conference last year that had, I believe, had three teams under 500 in the playoffs. all eight of their teams currently that would be in the playoffs over 500, including the Charlotte Hornets somehow are 8-6.
Yeah. And then your Knicks with your man Porzingis, you know.
The Knicks are 8-7 on the outside looking in.
The damn Pistons are at 500.
Like, yeah.
The East is vastly improved. The only thing is I still think that it's the Cavs conference to lose, and the Sixers are the only thing the Sixers are playing for at this point is that number one draft pick.
Yeah, the Sixers could really luck out because they own the Lakers pick. So if the Lakers don't finish in the top three in the draft, then that pick goes to Philadelphia. So they could be shitty all season and still lose their first round pick somehow.
That'd be totally Philly.
That would be... No, I'm talking about the Lakers.
Oh, you're talking about the Lakers?
No, yeah, the Lakers pit would go to Philadelphia. So the Philadelphia okay. Sixers would have essentially two top five pits, basically.
Wow. Marcus, I don't think anybody would blame you if you just switch teams real quick under the radar and hooked up with your man Hammer and became a Warriors fan.
No, I mean, I like watching the Warriors play, but I have no connection to the Warriors. I feel like the older I get, the less connection I have to sports teams in general, besides maybe the Dodgers. I don't know. I just don't have any investment, really, into what goes on. Maybe it's just the jaded journalist in me.
And see, I think I'm the opposite way. Like, the older I get,
the more
I only care about my teams. Like the Hawks and the Falcons and the Braves, and we'll talk about these damn Falcons here in a second. But the older I get, the more, like, I only watch my teams plus, you know, like the Cavs or the Spurs or the, you know, the Warriors. I watch my teams plus the front runners.
And I watch more.
Like, I don't have time for a damn Bucks versus Magic game on a Wednesday night.
As I'm watching the Magic Knicks game at the moment. Yeah, I watch more just general NBA and baseball. So maybe that's just part of that might be just because of what I do and being at work and having it on that I get to watch more stuff than most folks. But yeah, I find myself watching a little bit more of everything as opposed to just watching the Lakers.
Like I noticed that on Sundays, as we'll transition right now into talking some NFL, like it's getting harder, and maybe it's because the football has been pretty bad this year.
Yeah.
Like, it's harder just to watch a random 1 o'clock game or a random 4 o'clock game unless I'm invested in at least one of the teams.
Like, what about fantasy? Like, does it help?
Fantasy helps a little. Yeah, fantasy helps. But, like, if I'm just watching a random-ass game, it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't have time for you Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, that's how I feel in the playoffs. If my team's been in it and fantasy's done, then it's hard for me to watch just the wild card game.
Yeah, you and Rob Ryan, I think, are going to avoid watching the playoffs this year.
The Jets are still somehow, despite a bad loss, somehow still in the mix.
Oh, well, you know what else is in the mix, Marcus?
What's that?
Our football picks are in the mix. I was trying to think of another thing that rhymed real quick so I could keep that flow going, but it's the holidays. Like, I have very... very little energy besides, like, I'm thinking about turkey and stuffing and croissants, like the crescent rolls with the butter on them. It's like
the ones from the can.
Yeah, the ones that you hit a little pop.
Pillsbury to pop, yeah.
Yeah, little crescent rolls. I'm thinking about that already. But let's get into our picks challenge. Each week, if you're new to the show, Marcus and I pick five games. Four on Sunday and the Monday night game, and we go head-to-head. And Marcus, let's see how we did last week and how we're looking so far for the season.
Last week, I went 4-1. Nate, you went 1-4.
Whoa.
So much like your Falcons here, you're just collapsing.
That's a big week right there.
So for the year, you're now down to 27-23. And I'm 21-29. So now I have six games back.
Okay. Let's see if we can buck this.
At one point,
trend.
I was 10 games back. So we're making progress.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was dominating for a while. Well, let's see if we can buck this trend, Marcus, and get into the games for week 12 of the National Football League. We are rapidly approaching the end of the season.
What is the season, Joe?
Like, it seems like only yesterday we were talking about Greg Hardy and should he be playing this season and
football drafts and
drafts and fantasy. By the way, our fantasy football league is much like the Western Conference. Like, there's one or two dominant teams and everybody else is fighting for playoff positioning.
Yeah, I play the Kingdom this week.
Oh, that should be a good one. Like, I need Marcus to win this game, folks, because I'm confident in my team, but at the same time, this past week was not kind to my two starting running backs, like Charkandrick West and Devontae Freeman not playing this week. So
you're three games up on.
I got that nice notification from the recap this week where they were like, the N-word order clinched the playoff spot. And I was like, okay, first team to clinch.
Yeah, I will not be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you never know. You just got to hope somebody above you collapses.
I'm only one game out, so.
Yeah. You got to hope Dennis Black and Asian screws the pooch.
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll get too wrapped up in being a dad and a husband to focus on his fantasy roster. But let's get into this week's selections. And let's see. I will start. Let's see. Where do we want to start this week? Because there's, as I mentioned, Marcus, the games this year have not been good. And outside of the games that we're going to see tomorrow and one or two games this week, I don't see a whole lot of great, intriguing matchups. But let's start with your favorite coach, somebody that you might be thankful for this holiday season, Marvin Lewis and the Rams. Marvin Lewis and the Bengals taking on the Rams. What's the spread?
Bengals minus 10.
Mm. Okay, who you got, Marcus?
Bengals have now lost two in a row.
Yeah.
Going down in their epic January meltdown soon enough. To me, that's a lot of points. Give me the Rams.
Yeah, that is a lot of points. I don't know. I think, you know what? I am going to go with the Bengals because I think they have lost two in a row, but they were in both games. And they had an opportunity, especially in that Arizona game on Sunday night, to come away with the victory, even though it was a close finish, but it wasn't a good game to watch for the most part. So give me Marvin and the Bengals to rebound this week. Up next, Jameis Winston, a perennial fixture in the Black quarterback power rankings, taking on the Indianapolis Colts. What's the spread for Bucks Colts?
How are the Bucks 5-5, by the way? Colts minus 3.
The power of Jameis Winston and that defense.
And Lovie Smith, I guess.
Yeah, shout out to Lovie Smith. Like, under the radar, it's kind of helped turn this team around. I always liked Lovie Smith. It was the second black coach to coach in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Let's see. I'm going to go. Give me the Colts in this one. Who do you got, Marcus?
Matt Hasselbeck.
Hasselbeck, who is filled in admirably for Andrew Luck.
You said you got the Colts?
Yeah, I got the Colts.
Hand me the Bucks.
Okay. Let's go from the Bucks to a team with an owner that doesn't give a shut your mouth. The Washington Redskins versus the New York Giants. What is the spread for this NFC East matchup?
Giants minus 2.5.
Who you got on this one, Marcus?
G-Man,
you going against, you have the audacity to pick against one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league, your man Kirk Cousins?
You came back to Earth last week.
I'm with you on this one. Give me the G-Man. I'll take the G-Man. Next up, the still undefeated New England Patriots head to Mile High to take on Brock Osweiler's Denver Broncos. What is the spread for Pat's Broncos?
Pat's minus 2.5.
And this is a Patriots team that is coming in a little bit depleted. Not only was Julian Edelman taken out 2 weeks ago, but is there an update on Amendola? Do they know how long he's going
to
be out?
I think it's week to week.
Week to week. Is it true that they actually reached out to Terrell Owens or vice versa?
No, he wanted to get a tryout.
I would love it if Terrell Owens ended up playing for Bill Belichick. Like two more diametrically opposed personalities. I wish the Patriots would lose. I was hoping they would lose this past week to your man Rex Ryan, but that didn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen this week either. Give me the Pats.
Give me the Pats as well.
All right. Next up, our final game of the week. The Baltimore Ravens take on the Cleveland Browns in what will be a snoozer of a Monday night game, I'm sure. I might even change it to Raw and see what's going on that channel on USA.
If Raw's ratings don't bounce back
against Ravens Browns
against this game,
it won't.
I mean, good God.
Did you watch Raw this past week?
No, I didn't watch Raw.
Not a good show.
I cherry picked Raw, and I heard there was nothing to watch, so I didn't watch.
And God bless Paige and Charlotte, but that was not a good match. And you could hear them calling spots like 3 or 4 times. Like, okay, I'm gonna put my knee here, and then come on.
I'm shocked the woman who streams in matches in Charlotte was able to. You ever hear her spots? I'm shocked.
that's how quiet the crowd was. You could hear them calling spots. It's like, come on, you two chatty patties, as Dame Dash would say. What's the spread for Ravens Browns?
Browns minus 2.5.
Okay. This is an interesting situation because the Browns will be going into this game with a new starting quarterback.
Josh McCown.
McCown is back behind center, and we'll get into that in a second. You know what? Give me the Browns at home. I'll take the Browns.
Give me the Browns as well.
All right. So those are our picks for week 12 of the National Football League season. We'll see how we do, if Marcus can continue this wave of forward momentum, or will I bounce back after the holiday. But we talked about the Browns quarterback situation, and your man Johnny Football, I guess his motto for 2015 is turn down for what, Marcus? Because apparently Johnny Manziel just can't get right.
He can't get right, and I'm getting tired of the Johnny Manziel defenders who are somehow trying to justify what he does on his bye week.
Yeah. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, was what Johnny Manziel, you know, partying with his boys, is that a bad thing? Is that a terrible thing? No. But when you are a professional athlete, and B, somebody that has checked himself into rehab before, somebody that has admitted that he's had some issues and some struggles with some of this off-the-field stuff, it's not a good look. Like, and to me, this kind of goes back to the thing where players get busted for weed. It's like, I understand, man, if you want to puff a joint every now and then, you know, you want to roll up a blunt, but don't do it during the damn season, man. All as much money as you're getting paid. Like, Marcus, I love beer. I love food. I love fatty foods. But if somebody said, hey, Nate, I'm going to give you $5 million this year, if for 4 months you could put down a beer and put down the fatty foods, I will be eating lettuce and drinking water for 4 months, Marcus.
What about cigarettes? You left off cigarettes.
Hey, for $5 million, I would put down the cigarettes. I would walk around with 16 patches on my body at all times. All
right.
Sleepy, yo, because it's like, come on, man. This is your job, Johnny. And I think that Johnny Manziel has the potential to actually rebound from this. I just don't know if this is going to happen in Cleveland. Maybe he needs a change of scenery, but all the changes of scenery in the world aren't going to make a difference, Marcus, if he doesn't change his attitude and change his behavior. So I think this might be a wake-up call for Johnny. This might be, you know, his last straw with the Cleveland Browns.
I don't see him ever playing another down for the Browns.
So you think this is it right now?
Yeah, this is it. He's not that good. It's not worth the headaches to keep this guy around. And we don't know what he went to rehab for. We don't know what the Browns told this dude after rehab about what he does on his free time. This is the same dude who told the media he was going to spend his off days relaxing like everybody else in the locker room. And then he shows up popping bottles. He also said, according to TMZ, that he was not going to do anything that would be a distraction to this team or be an embarrassment to this organization. Well, two strikes, buddy. Plus, he had the domestic incident with his girlfriend early in the year where he was day drinking. It's just like one after another. And it all goes back to how good are you? Is it worth the risk, worth the headache? And what we've seen so far in his NFL career, it's not worth the headache.
And that's the problem, because I do think that he has the potential to at least be a serviceable quarterback in this league. You know, like we talked about last week, Marcus, there's not a lot of great quarterbacks currently playing in the National Football League. But his issue is, because of all this off-the-field stuff, because of all of these problems, and a lot of them are rooted in drinking, he hasn't given himself a chance. He hasn't given himself an opportunity to learn and mature and grow into this position. Like, I would contrast the way Johnny has come into the league versus your boy Jameis Winston, who we talked about earlier. Like, for all of Jameis's controversies and off the field stuff and lack of maturity and knucklehead decision making that he showed at Florida State, I don't think you could say anything negatively about him off the field from, you know, his first few months in Tampa Bay.
No, I mean, he's done all the right things, and people kept tweeting me yesterday, oh, what do you expect from a 22-year-old? Well, listen, at some point you have to grow up, and there are other 22-year-olds in the league who somehow don't find themselves on TMZ. So I'm not saying that you can't go out and have fun, but at the same time, if you know you are going to be a distraction, you know you have baggage, you need to lay low, especially when your team is 2-8.
Yeah, I mean, if you are that guy, and again, you know, people grow up, people mature, but it's common sense, man. It's your job. You're a professional athlete, and you can't just take one part of that job title and just be an athlete. You got to be a professional as well, because this team has put a lot of money into you, and they want a return on their investment. And, you know, if you don't want to drink, if you say, I'm Johnny Football, I'm going to drink as much as I want, okay, I can't stop you from doing that, but be smart about it and do it at your house, man. Yeah. You know, don't be out here in the public eye where you know the cameras are going to be out and you know that's going to come back on you and come back on your organization.
Yeah.
So that's your man, Johnny Footballs. Marcus says that he probably is not going to take another snap for the Cleveland Browns. I hope he can get it together, because I do think that he can be an exciting player you know, we'll see if he gets his mind right and he's able to rebound from this. But, you know, I think that this is going to be it for this week's show, Marcus. I think, you know, we have got to get ready for our holiday festivities. You know, real quick, anything that you are thankful for this year since the last time we had a Thanksgiving show that you want to shout out on the program?
Let's see. I'm thankful for my wife, even though she gave up on the podcast and she'll never hear this message. I'm thankful for my new job at work.
Thankful that you don't have to do the hockey minute until the playoffs.
How dare you?
Hashtag RIP Hockey Negro.
It'll be back soon. And by soon, it'll be April. I'm thankful for ROH New Japan to get me through this dog days of WWE. And yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. I'm thankful for health, of course. I am thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my nieces who continue to just make me scratch my head with how smart these young kids are. Like, they'll hit me up all the time with just some random questions like, Uncle Nate, how come girls have to play softball and not baseball?
Mm.
And that little interjection from my oldest niece led to a 20-minute conversation that ended with her saying, well, I think I'll change all that when I become president.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, I ain't mad at you. So I think it's easy to become more cynical the older we get, but you know, these little random conversations with my nieces keep me optimistic and positive. So I'm thankful for my nieces. I'm thankful for these podcasts that I do, even though sometimes it's a long work week. I'm thankful for, you know, the Kings of Sport here with Brother Marcus. I'm thankful for Pipe Bomb Radio every week with Felix, because it gives me the opportunity to do interviews with some random people, from legends to up-and-comers and everybody in between. Like this week, we talked to Bobby Fulton from the Fantastics, and he went off on your man Vince McMahon for all that he's done in the wrestling business, or to the wrestling business. So it's a great outlet. And of course, speaking of keeping it real and keeping it 100, my podcast with the Fight Network and that continued relationship, that is something I look forward to for 2016. I'm thankful for you guys out there listening, you guys and girls, every week downloading the podcast. You know, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep doing this until we get tired of it. So,
including that one dude in Vancouver who had jokes. What was his name? Let me find his tweet.
Even Jermaine. We love all the listeners.
Brett Armstrong.
Oh, yeah. Brett had some jokes.
Questioning my blackness.
Yeah, I mean, it happens after you spend 20 minutes talking about 90210.
We were talking about it, too.
I
didn't see your name in the Rachel draft.
It's because I was responding to your topic.
Yeah. But
actually, I think you'd go high in the Rachel draft, though, Mark. I think that you would be very appealing to bring over to the white side.
Me and Drake.
You and Drake, yeah.
Neck and neck.
The white delegation requests to trade Johnny Manziel for Drake and Marcus Vandenberg.
Yeah.
Because Johnny Manziel is acting real ghetto, and he's acting like a thug. But we thank you, all the listeners, for listening each and every week. And shout out to Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. Shout out to High Voltage Radio Network, highvoltageradio.com. And I think that's going to do it, Marcus. I think it is time to get on out of here. So before we do, let the people know where they can hit you up and give you some holiday well wishes this year.
You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Facebook page, facebook.com/ Kings of Sport. Vote for us on podcastland.com for podcast of the month. I guess it'd be December podcast of the month now, by the time you're listening to this. So, yeah, we got a few more shows left in 2015, and I think they're going to be some good shows, Marcus.
Including the year-end show.
Yeah, we are already compiling clips for the year-end show. So, if matter of fact, if you guys have a interview or a topic or a segment for that you'd like to hear in the year-end show, hit us up either on the Facebook group, facebook.com/KingsSport, on Twitter, or even the rarely used email account, thekingsofsport@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can get some of those clips in for you. So that's going to do it for this week. Royal Rant episode of the Kings of Sport podcast. I think we're going to go out with Linus from Peanuts, from the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Tell him about the true meaning of Thanksgiving. It's not just about football and food and all that good stuff, but there's some real meaning behind it. So I think that's a good way to leave things off this week, Marcus.
I like that.
All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And we'll meet back up here next week for an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, The Kings of Sport. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Take us home, Linus, because you've been down with the Kings.
Before we're served, shouldn't we say grace?
In the year 1621, the Pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world with freedom and justice.
Amen.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Time is really wasted.